We're learning Tanya by the Alter Rebbe, the founder of the Chabad movement. Tanya is the main book of Chabad Hasidus. And we are by chapter 12 of the first part. I would call this like the chapter because the whole book is called Sefer Shel Beinonim, book for intermediate people. And the Alter Rebbe already defined chapter 10, what a tzaddik is, what a righteous person is, chapter 11, what a rasha is, what a wicked person is. And now comes the chapter that defines and explains, together with the next ones, three or four more chapters, actually up to chapter 18, so it's actually five chapters. Now we're going to start defining what a Beinoni is, what the title of the book actually talks about. Perek Yud Beis, chapter 12. Veha Beinoni, and what is an intermediate person? Just to remind ourselves, in the beginning, really, the first chapter, the Alter Rebbe said that we might think it looks out from the Talmud that intermediate person means some 50% good deed, 50% bad deeds. That's what it looks. Intermediate, you know, middle. No, not at all. And we rejected that idea by saying that Rabbi used to think about himself, he was a Beinoni. And we know he never stopped learning Torah, was a great tzaddik and so on, but he considered himself a Beinoni. So that means a Beinoni looks pretty much like a tzaddik. Okay, veha beinoni usheloira menaragoi ver kol kach lichvoishesair ktano. The beinoni is a person that never the wicked part, the evil parts inside of him overpower so much the good parts inside of him to conquer the small city that we mentioned in chapter 9, which was the beginning of the explanation of these three levels, tzaddik, rasha, and beinoni. The righteous, the wicked, and the intermediate. So the evil parts never conquer the good parts in order to actually rule over this small city, to invest itself, either thought, speech, and action, in the body, to use the body, so to speak, to make it seem. The Hainu, the Alter Rebbe says it clearly. Sheshloisha levushei nefesh habamis, these three garments that were defined in chapter four, of thought, speech, and action, of the animal soul, that they come from klipa, from impurity, they don't overpower the godly soul, to get invested, so to speak, enclosed, something like that, in the body, in the brain, in the mouth, and the rest of the limbs of the 248 limbs of the body, leachtiyam uletamam chas v'shalom, to make them sin and to impurify them, God forbid. Interestingly, as I mentioned many times, and I'm not going to get tired of mentioning this, the Tanya was not written for non-Jews, clearly. It's written for Jews, but I would say that definitely this idea applies to something that is called, the Alter Rebbe actually didn't mention it because it's mentioned in other places in Hasidus, Nefesh HaSichlis. Nefesh HaSichlis means the normal human brain, normal human mind. That means we're all human, so to speak. Okay, I'm not going to talk about dogs and cats, I don't care, but we're all human, okay? So that means we have a human intellect. Let's call it whatever, normal, not biased by diseases or problems. No. Normal human intellect. That is actually what the godly soul and the animal soul are fighting for. Because when we say this Irktana, the small city, oh yeah, there are two kings fighting for a small city and so on. Okay, that includes the body, of course, because your hand is going to do either give tzedakah, charity, or do something bad, whatever. So you have to rule over your hand to do something bad and so on, the rest of the limbs. But who's actually commanding the hand to move? Who's actually giving the order and like neural pathways and electricity flowing through the body to say the hand move and do? That's the brain. And the brain is directly connected to the intellect. The intellect invests itself in the brain and uses the brain to function. And there's a thing called human intellect, nefesh ha-sichlis. So when the Tanya says, actually, we have two souls, The truth is, we have more than two. Why? Because what we call a soul means sometimes, in different Hasidic teachings, parts of the soul. Not necessarily a whole soul, parts of the soul. So in this particular case, for non-Jews, I would definitely say that there's a war inside of each single person. There's a conflict of doing good or doing evil. And this conflict expresses itself by who conquers the nefesh ha-sichlis, the intellectual soul, the intellect, in order to do good or to do evil. So on one hand, there's a desire to do good or not. And on the other hand is, okay, what's the kli, the tool for the desire, to express the desire? You need a body, you need an intellect, you need, and so on. All kinds of things that you need in order to actually go and do either good or the opposite. So coming back to the Tanya, Rak, what is this guy? This guy never has a bad thought, never has a bad word, never has a bad deed. This is what the Alter Rebbe said until now. Le'oilam, this is the first line, that's what how he started. Never, and he will repeat it later. Interesting. Rak, shloisha levusha nefesh elekis, em levadam mislavshim beguf. Only the three garments of the godly soul, they only invest and get clothes, whatever, in the body, use the body, so to speak. Shemachshava dibur umayse shel tariag mitzvah satoira. And we're talking about, as the Alter Rebbe said before in the first chapters, thought, speech, and action of 613 commandments of the Torah. You think about them, and you talk about them, and you do them, and so on. That's what the life of this person. That's the life. That's his life. Thinking about Torah, talking about Torah, doing mitzvahs, Torah, whatever. This phrase is so difficult to read and to chew and to whatever. This person never sinned from the beginning of his days, and he will never sin. This is a Beinoni. This is what the Alter Rebbe says. This phrase, of course, is so difficult to chew because automatically leaves, I would say, most of us, me included, of course. That's it. Forget it. You're not a Beinoni. You will never be a Beinoni. That's it. However, we know that there's such a thing as tshuva, repentance, and the Alter Rebbe has a whole third part of Tanya talking about this very deeply and so on. So what is he talking about over here? What is he saying? He never sinned and he will never sin. So the way I found to explain this in different books that explain this, this is not my idea, that's what I'm trying to say, is that if you take a picture of this person, in which level is he found right now? Anything that he might have done wrong, he already repented. And if he continues, and this is the key part of the idea, if he continues exerting his power and his strength in the way he's doing it now, he will never sin. As soon as he stops, so to speak, working on himself, he might sin. Maybe yes, maybe no. And this is the example I found is like the gas in the car. As long as you're pressing the gas, the car is moving, moving and moving and moving. It's going to move, whatever. Infinitely, quote unquote. It's going to move until the gas runs out or whatever. It's going to move. As soon as you lift your foot from the gas, the car is going to function a little bit more. Yeah, some more time, you know, inners or whatever you call it in English, it's going to move, but then it's going to stop. But if you continue pressing, it's going to move. And this pressing of the gas, this is the work that the Beinoni does throughout his whole life. Don't think it's easy. Don't think that the Beinoni says, yeah, I don't like pizza, I don't like... No. He likes everything. But he works in himself constantly, pressing, so to speak, not to do this, not to talk about this, not to think about this. That's why, that's the explanation I found. The Alter Rebbe is saying, he never sinned. What do you mean, never? Yeah, because he did tshuva, he repented. And he will never sin. What do you mean, how do you know? Because he's constantly pressing, constantly working, non-stop, What if he stops? Okay, I don't know. Maybe he sins. He might sin. Veloy nikra alav shem rasha afilu shah achat verega echat kol yamav. Furthermore, the name wicked person, Rasha, is not called upon this person, not even for an instant, all his life. The same concept as we said before, because he did tshuva. He might have been a Rasha, I don't know, he did this, he did that. But you know what? He cleaned himself completely, he repented, and therefore, in the level he is right now, if you take a picture of this guy, what is this guy? This guy didn't do any avodas, any sins. Is he a tzaddik? Oh no, we will see. This guy is not a tzaddik, he's not a righteous person. Ah, this is what Alter Rebbe is going to explain now, because if you said he never sinned, he will never sin, he's a tzaddik. What's the difference between this guy and the guy of chapter 10? But the essence of the godly soul, which is its 10 levels, parenthesis, interestingly to know that in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe calls the intellect and the emotions of the soul the essence of the soul. But in, I would say, most of other Hasidic works, even by the Alter Rebbe, this is clearly not called the essence of the soul. Not at all. The essence of the soul is something much deeper. But whatever, in Tanya, this is what is called the essence of the soul. It's not a problem, it's just, this is the context, so to speak. So in this case, the 10 levels of the soul that the Alter Rebbe explained in chapter 3, these 10 levels, they're not the only ones ruling and being the king over the small city, the body and the intellectual soul and so on. Ki'im be'itim mezumanim. This only happens, that means it's the only ruler only in specific times, like for instance when he's reciting the Shema, when is the proper time for reciting the Shema and he's fulfilling this mitzvah, or he's praying. This in Kabbalah is explained that there are revelations, whatever, above, over there, in literal translation, great intellect, moichin the gadlus, intellect of greatness, or whatever that means, doesn't really matter. But above, there are certain times in Judaism to keep certain commandments. So when it is the time of tefillah, of praying, why is it that particular time, the proper time for prayer? Because above, something is happening. So you should be praying right now. And this is exactly the same thing as, for instance, comes Pesach. Pesach is the 15th of Nisan. Okay, that particular time, it's a special time above, you should be eating matzah. Okay, so the guy goes and eats matzah. And what about now? Right now is not Pesach. You want to eat matzah, enjoy, but it's not a mitzvah. Because above, whatever that means, spiritually speaking, nothing is happening. I mean, related to Pesach. Nothing is happening over there. So you might eat matzah, but it's not a mitzvah. The same thing happens with any other mitzvah. In this particular case, the Alter Rebbe is talking about Kriyas Shema, reading of the Shema, which also applies to non-Jews. There's a famous story by the Chido, telling a non-Jew to say the Shema in the morning and in the night, if he really believes in God and so on. And tefillah, prayer, which is also a mitzvah for non-Jews. It's a special time above. Vegam lemata isha asa koishel, lechol adam, and also below. Down here in the physical world, it's also a good time for every single person. Because in that particular moment, what's prayer all about? Even though this is not a text on prayer, but what's prayer all about? You're attaching, you're putting together your intellect, Chochma bin and Das, Chabad, with the intellect of Hashem. You're getting together with God. You have a meeting with God. That's prayer. That's what it means, prayer. In order to deepen your understanding or your whatever comprehension in the greatness of the infinite, that means God. And to awaken the love for God as a burning flame in the right part of your heart, that was explained in chapter 9. In chapter 9, yes. In order to attach to God by fulfilling learning the Torah and fulfilling the commandments out of love for God. This is the definition of tefillah that Alter Rebbe is giving. It's a good time to do all of this. That's why we pray, and we pray every single idea that we say in the, during the prayer and so on. It's geared toward this. שזהו עניין המבואר בקריאת שמע דאורייתא ברכותיה שלפניה ולאחריה שאין מדרבנן, which actually this is what's explained in other places regarding the reading of the Shema, which is a biblical commandment, and the blessings before and after the reading of Shema, which are rabbinical commandments, הן הכנה לקיום קריאת שמע. They are like a preparation in order to keep קריאת שמע, to read the Shema. This is what should be happening while a person reads the Shema. Ve'az, then, when the person is actually reading the Shema, fulfilling a mitzvah, davening, praying, and so on, harash bechal al asmani kafuf u'batel latoiv, hamispashet bechal al hayemani. The evil parts in the left part of the heart is subdued and nullified to the good parts that expand, so to speak, in from the right side of the heart, mechabat shebemoyach, that come from the intellect in the brain. So what he's saying is, the person is thinking about God, intellect in the brain, the greatness of God, and so on, and that generates, like he explained in chapter 9, that generates a projection, so to speak, of energy from the brain into the heart, into the right part of the heart, and that overflows into the left part of the heart, and that attaches the person to God, to feel love for God, and so on. And there are different types of love for God. That's why in the Shema you say, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol neidecha, with all your heart. You should love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, whatever the levels mean. But that's what actually should be happening while the person is reading the Shema. And all of these, I've just missed like four words over here, mekushanim gedulas ein sof baruch hu, which is a continuation of what we just said before, that again, the brain is attached to the greatness of God because he's thinking about that, and that generates the, whatever I said before, the energy coming down and overflowing into the left part of the heart. And there you go, this guy is reading the Shema and he is in love with God. Great, nice. Aval, however, it doesn't finish there. Achar tefila, bistalkus amoichin degadlus, ein sof baruch hu, after prayer, when it removes from him, so to speak, because above something happens, and it removes, heat, hides, conceals this intellect of the greatness of the infinite, of God. So the guy is out in the street, and he has to work, and he has to, whatever, manage his life and do things that everybody does. He's not actively thinking about God, point number one. Point number two, he doesn't have a special aid from above. It's not a special time anymore. We finished the prayers. That's it. Go work. The evil parts that he has inside, they come back and they awake in the left part of the heart. And this evil part that he has inside of it, desires, passions of this world and the pleasures of this world, and he feels, this guy can feel, yeah, it's coming. I like pizza and I like sushi. And just a minute before, you were liking God, the only thing in the world, God and godliness. And right now you're talking about food and et cetera, et cetera. What's going on? Rak, mipnei shelo levado mishpat ha-melucha ba-memshala ba-ir. The only thing is that, just as we said before, actually, not he himself, the evil part himself, is the one, the only one, saying his verdict, which goes back again to chapter 9, or being the king and being the ruler in this city. You're not alone. The evil parts are not alone. Just as the good parts are not alone. Wait a second, the evil parts are also not alone. This is the bane. He cannot, the evil parts inside of this guy, cannot bring out his passion from power to be something like a capacity of doing something in reality. He does not realize his passion. Does he feel it? Yes. Does he do anything about it? Does he say anything about it? Does he think about it? No. But does he feel it? Oh yes, the heart is beating. But he doesn't do anything. That's what it means, that the evil parts cannot actually bring out this passion in reality. In order to actually use, invest itself in the members of the body, in the limbs of the body, in action, speech, and thought. Mamesh, literally. What would it mean to invest the evil parts of your life? In action is clear, go do whatever you're wanting to do. In speech, go talk about it. But what does it mean in thought? Lehamik machshavto betaynugya lemazeh. To deepen your thoughts in the pleasures of this world. That's what it means in thought. Alter Rebbe is going to say much later, like chapters 27, 28, we don't control the thoughts that fall into our minds. No way. God puts the thoughts, whatever he wants, and we think. However, we do control what we contemplate. How, in other words, as soon as you realize you're thinking something you're not supposed to be thinking, what are you going to do? That's in your power. To have this thought just happens. God put it there. But to contemplate the thought, no, that's your choice. And this is what the Alter Rebbe says now. Again, I'm just going back a few words. Lehamik machshavto betaynugya lemazeh, to deepen your thoughts in the pleasures of this world, eich lemalos taivas livoi, how to actually fulfill the passions of my heart. I'm really thinking, what can I do about it? I see a nice woman walking in the street. Should I go ask for the phone number? Should I continue watching? Should I talk to her? Should I? No, what are you thinking about? You're a rabbi. You're married. What are you doing? Yes, I'm just continue walking. But the guy is thinking. The key point is, once you realize you're thinking about this, take it out of your mind. If you realize you're thinking about this, and then you continue, oy vey, you're not a beinoni. I'm sorry. The evil parts inside of you actually controlled the good parts to take control and rule over at least one garment. The Alter Rebbe said in chapter 11 that the reshoim, the evil guys, so to speak, evil people, there are many, many levels. Sometimes just one garment becomes, so to speak, dirty. And once in 10 years, he's a Rasha. Maybe once in so many years he thinks about this and says, yeah, I will continue thinking about this. That's not a Beinoni. I'm sorry. That's a Rasha. And now the Alter Rebbe says a phrase that he's going to repeat so many times. And it's not his own, as he himself says. Ki amoyach shalit al alev. Because the brain rules over the heart. And the Alter Rebbe adds in brackets, kama shekasuv b'Rei HaMemnas, it's written in Zohar. This is not my idea. This is written in the Zohar. And this ruling of the mind over the heart is betoldasei veteva yetzirasei. It's from birth. This is the way it is done. It is formed by God, that the brain rules over the heart. Shikach neitzara adam betoldasei, because this is the way a person was created from birth, from the first day. Shikol adam yachol biretzoinoi. Every person can, with the will of his brain, to be strong and rule over the passions in his heart. Not to fulfill, everybody can, not to fulfill the desires of the heart in action, speech, and thought. And to really stop thinking, liasiach means to take out, stop thinking about these things completely. Don't think anymore about your passions, and you can think about the complete opposite. ובפרט אל צד הקדושה. And particularly speaking, you can start thinking about holy things, like you think about something which is a passion. Okay, you can change that thought for something else that is not a passion. I love pizza. Okay, I'm going to think about sushi. I don't love sushi so much, so okay, sushi is okay. No, pizza, no, because I love it. Yeah, that's already good. It's one level, but it's not holy. So he's saying, in particular, you can think about something holy. Start thinking about Torah, God, and so on. Kedixiv, as it's written, Ra'isi. Shlomo HaMelech says, in, I think it's called Ecclesiastes, Koyeles, whatever. Ra'isi sheyeshisron lechochma min hasichlus. I saw that there's a virtue of wisdom over folly. Ke'isron ha'or min hachoshech. Like the virtue of light over darkness. Pirush, what does that mean? כמו שהאור יש לו איסרון לשליטה בממשל על החושך, then Shlomo HaMelech is not saying, like, before translating, we might think that Shlomo HaMelech is saying, yeah, light is nicer than darkness. And to be smart is better than to be a fool. Thank you, Shlomo, but we know this. Like, we don't need Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest person in the world, to tell us that it's better to be a wise guy than to be a fool. What are you teaching me? Like, what's the lesson over here? So the Rebbe is going to explain something much deeper. Shlomo HaMelech is saying something very deep. What is he saying? כמו שהאור יש לו איסרון ושליטה וממשל על החושך, just as the light has a virtue and power, so to speak, and rules over darkness. What does it mean that light rules over darkness? שמעט או הרגש מדויכי הרבה מן החושך, that a little bit of light, physical light, because that's the example Shlomo HaMelech is using, King Solomon. A little bit of physical light brings out, takes out, doiche, pushes away a lot of darkness. You light a small candle in a dark room, you already have some light. The darkness is displaced, so to speak. It's just brought out automatically by this light. כך, in the same way, נדחם ממילו סיכלוס הרבה של הקליפה בסדרה אחר שבחר על הסמאלי, in the same way, is brought out automatically, the stupidity, so to speak, a lot of folly from the קליפה, the shells, and the other side, in the left side of the heart. Shlomo HaMelech is saying something very, very deep over here. What is he saying? You are full of bad thoughts. Yeah, I know that. But if you have one good thought, that already takes out and brings out all the bad thoughts. A little bit of light displaces a lot of darkness. That's what he's saying. And the darkness over here is the Yetzer Hara, the bad inclination, the evil inclination. K'mayim ha'razal, like our sage is saying, im ke'el im ke'en nichnas bo ruach shtus chule. That Rebbe doesn't even quote the whole thing. That Rebbe is quoting the Gemara, the Talmud, that a person does not commit a transgression unless enters him or her a spirit of stupidity or folly, etc. That means there is something called a ruach shtus. You became kind of a fool. And Altrab is going to explain this later, chapter 18, 19, 20, and so on. A little bit, you became a fool, so to speak, for different reasons. The easiest reason is to think it's not a problem to transgress. You don't lose your connection to God when you transgress. That's the folly, so to speak, that the Yetzer Hara tries to convince a person into that. And the chidush, the novelty over here is of Shlomo HaMelech, of King Solomon, that just a little bit of good already displaces a lot of darkness. Mipnei ha'chokhma shebenefesh elokis shebemoyach. This is because of the wisdom, the level of wisdom in the godly soul, in the brain, asher retzayna limshol levada beir, that its will is to rule only her in this city. So we see, as he explained in chapter 9 also, the two kings want to be the only one. Both of them want to be the only one. So when the evil king, so to speak, rules, wait a second, there's another king over here, who wants to rule also. So it's not going to be so easy for either or any of them. But the point is that, again, the godly soul wants to rule on this city. Ulislavish Bishlesha Lebushe Anal, Becholagov Kuloi Kanal. And be invested in the three garments mentioned before, in the whole body, complete body, as mentioned before, Shemachshava Devarumayse V'Taryag Mitzvah Torah Kanal, which, and we're talking about thought, speech, and action of the 613 commandments, as we explained before. So, up to here, the Alter Rebbe explained what's the conflict that every single person lives, and what's going on in the mind of the Beinoni. In the mind of the Beinoni, while he's praying, he's on fire, loving God, and he's so into, he looks like a tzaddik, literally, like a righteous person. Why? Because there's a little help, so to speak, from above. God is helping this soul by shining spiritual things, whatever. And he's saying the Shema, and he's on fire for God. But then he goes out in the street and to eat his breakfast and so on, and then the evil parts awake. And the war continues. During prayer, he doesn't have a war, usually. Even though in Zayar it's brought down, and that Rebbe brings it in so many other places, Shas Tzloisa Shas Krava, the time of prayer is a time of war. Why? Because the war over there is to explain to the Nefesh HaBamis, the animal soul, that God is good. What do you mean God is good? Pizza is good. No. God. I don't see God. Show it to me. So it's a whole fight in the brain, so to speak. Yeah, explain this way, that way, and this explanation, that explanation. God exists. What do you mean exists? I don't see. Okay. All kinds of biurim, explanations that the godly soul is trying to explain the animal soul. God is good. And that's what it means, actually. It's not directly related to this, but still the idea. Why do we say, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshach, b'chol meidecha? It doesn't make any sense. You should love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I don't know. It's just three poetic words. Thank you so much. But what does it mean? Why three ideas? Very briefly, idea number one is with all your heart. That means that even the animal soul should learn to love God. But this love for God is out of a convenience. It's a biased love. Why would you love God? Because he gives you pizza. Really? I love pizza. Okay, God gives you pizza. Okay, I love God. Do you really love God? No, I love pizza, but whatever. This guy gives me pizza, so I love him. That's b'chol levavcha. B'chol nafshecha means just one soul. It doesn't allude to more than one thing. That means that the good inside of a person overpowers so much the evil part that the evil part just shut up. I don't care if you don't love God. I'm going to kill you. So shut up. The animal soul is like nullified, completely nullified. Does it love God? No. Does it bother? No. The godly soul is loving God, which is a higher level than the previous one, because after all, the previous one, it sounds very nice, that the animal soul is loving God. Yeah, but it's not really loving God, it's loving pizza. But God gives you pizza, so you love God, whatever. And then you have b'chol meidecha, the third level, which is highest of the highest. The animal soul learns to love God, not the pizza, God. Almost becomes like a godly soul. That's a tzaddik already. Sounds like a tzaddik. But the point over here is, the Beinoni, the main idea the Alter Rebbe is bringing over here, the Beinoni loves God during prayer because he's actively thinking about God, and that has produces a projection of godliness, whatever, into the heart, and it overflows the left part, and everybody's loving God. Very nice. Everybody, I mean, all the limbs of the person, all the thoughts, speech, action, loving God. Very nice. And God is helping. That's why it is the proper time for prayer and so on. But when prayer finishes, it's war time. Literally, war time. And the guy has a conflict, a very deep conflict. But even so, the animal part never overpowers the good parts inside of him. Never. Not even to get into a bad thought. That means, not even to contemplate a bad thought. Is it going to fall into your head? Yes. But once you realize, oof, you take it out of your mind immediately. And Alter Rebbe is going to talk about that in chapter 27.